Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Speller is dead. Tired, so he's off having a little city break. I'm Pete Donaldson, and this is the Football Ramble. Luke is here. Hello, Luke.
All right.
Jim is here. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Let's go. Bit of a change room, isn't it? So look who's here. The Football Ramble is here. We're here to get all football-y. Marcus Speller, he's handed us a fairly stinking international weekend, hasn't he? For his holiday. So let's pick the bones, shall we?
It's like he's been going around making things not happen.
Yeah.
There's nothing for us to talk about.
But a change is as good as a rest.
It is.
Donaldson's in the hot seat. Donny's in the hot seat.
What a terrible idea, isn't it?
You're like the backup quarterback coming in, calling the plays.
Well, the first order of business, I'm reliably informed by my ears and my memory, it's the opening question, isn't it?
Yes.
It's time to do a little opening question.
Well done.
So the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, those wise guys, they've announced that that pandas are apparently now off the endangered list.
I was about to say so far so good.
So
I'd like to retract that.
So it's panda for tea. That's what I say.
Is this because China doesn't have the one-child policy anymore?
So they're stuck in.
Because so they hate that, don't they?
What, pandas eating the kids?
No, pandas are very frigid, notoriously.
Yes.
But China also notoriously had a one-child policy.
Yes.
There are many pandas in China. I'm just saying it could be connected.
What, you think that pandas got involved with...
Right. And they were feeling a bit shy and worried, and now that law's gone. Off we go.
The gang of four out of here.
We've made more pandas.
Yeah.
This is a conflation of two issues.
Yeah, indeed. So pandas are now off the endangered list. They're now merely vulnerable. I'm sure they're really pleased with that.
Yeah. So panda burgers for tea.
So obviously the next step is getting these drains off our ecosystem and getting them into work, employment in the world of football, because that's what we deal with, the world of football. So what job could a panda do at your favourite football club?
Has anyone signed from Shanghai Shenhua signed one yet?
Well, an actual panda.
On a huge amount of money per week. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them, Luke.
I thought to myself, is there a job that at Portsmouth, the club I support, that a panda couldn't make a good fist of within the last 7 or 8 years? And I couldn't think of a single job that a panda couldn't do better.
Couldn't do better, no.
So take your pick.
Better knees than Harry.
Yeah,
we know
definitely,
that.
Definitely. I would love to witness a club negotiating with a player. And the player coming in with his agent, sitting down.
Willie Mackay.
To talk to him.
Portsmouth.
Yeah. And the club saying, we'll start in a minute. Just help yourself to tea and coffee. Our agent will be here in a second. And then there's a knock on the door, and the door slowly opens, and a panda comes in. Little tie on.
Yeah.
Little tie. Little cufflinks.
Maybe off pandas.
Glass in the top pocket.
Ask him where the bamboo is.
Yeah. I think a panda agent, or Pete, they could play for Newcastle United, because they wouldn't have to change their kit, would they?
Spot on.
They don't have a kit.
No, true.
You don't call an animal's fur a kit, although perhaps you should.
They wouldn't have to put on a kit. How about that? And obviously there could be a mascot, right? There could obviously be a mascot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But imagine the surprise if the mascot is a panda and then they unzip themselves and it's a panda underneath.
That's
like
excellent.
Russian pandas.
Yeah. That's excellent. Yeah. I would also personally love to see, I know you would agree with this, Pete, I would very much like to see a number of them join the circus.
Why? Because you like circuses.
Circuses.
You like animals being mistreated.
Yeah. It's the future.
It's the future of mistreating animals.
Maybe he's off doing. Maybe he's off firing a bazooka at a panda.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Because they're off the list.
It is possible.
Jim.
So I think I like the idea of the panda agent. I had a very similar idea for Arsenal, which would be to have a panda negotiating transfers, basically.
Can't get any worse.
You'd put it into the room, you'd give it some bamboo to chew. Threateningly, because let's not forget, you know, they are bears, as cute as they are.
Yeah.
So one on one in a room with them, it would be quite scary. So you go into Leon and you say, "This is our chief negotiator. We're just going to leave everything to him. He is a panda. Don't worry about that, but just sort of get on with it. We're offering 40 million for Lacazette," and then you know the guy's going to sit there going, no, we want 50 million at least, and then the panda's not going to say anything because it's a panda.
It's chewing bamboo.
And it isn't, you know, it can't communicate and has no concept of language. Mm. And
it's rapidly going to develop a reputation as being a very tough negotiator.
Exactly, the poker face is just built in, isn't it?
Everyone knows they can do kung fu as well, so.
Indeed, yeah, we've all seen that.
Yeah.
The guys, the silence is going to get too much, isn't it? And the Leon negotiator is going to go, all right, 45.
Yeah.
Okay, you can have him. Also thought, perhaps maybe a marriage counsellor for Olivier Giroud, because they are famously frigid, and could perhaps, you know, discuss the merits of
keeping it in your pants.
Leaving it well alone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was kind of mine, to be honest. It was like, you know, like the one of the few breakdowns that kind of is quite long lasting in a changing room, in a dressing room, in a football club, is when one footballer sleeps with somebody else's wife. So the person, when they go on big international trips to Europe or wherever, he or she could look after the wives, because he ain't going to be out trying to have sex with them because they're frigid. True.
Yeah.
I mean,
Wag Wrangler.
Wag Wrangler, official title.
Yes.
Do they get a tab bar, like a high-vis tab bar? A couple of things. Obviously, I wouldn't like to see any animal in a circus. I was being flippant there. But
right,
on the panda situation...
But I would throw one into a desk fan.
Have you ever noticed... that? Come on. It wouldn't affect them, would it?
No,
the
it wouldn't.
Panda?
Well,
that's
all right.
More damage to the fan.
All right, yeah. Crickets. If you threw a handful of crickets into a desk fan, there'd be cricket everywhere.
Where's crickets come from? It's a football show, mate.
From... Where would they come from? Not embryos, what are they called? Little sacks.
Where have crickets come from?
Where do crickets come from? Embryos!
Oh, The good job is that people, listeners can be safe in the knowledge that we'll never branch out into doing a nature show.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple of
ramble
facts.
Is incredibly ironic right
the
now.
The pupae ramble.
I've got a couple of facts about pandas that I like, and one is that, you know, when the carers and the handlers try and look after them, they have to dress up like pandas, don't they?
Brilliant.
Because the pandas, otherwise the pandas get uneasy and it makes them more likely to want to mate if they're comfortable. And also, I'm pretty sure I once read that part of the reason that when a baby panda is born,
right,
they're actually born very quickly because they're very small in comparison to the adult size, and the mother doesn't know what it is and immediately sometimes will kill it. And if they have more than two, one is always rejected. One is always rejected. So if you can actually see footage of this on the internet. As soon as a panda gives birth, the handlers just leg it in there as quick as they can, grab it and take it away.
Dressed as a big net.
Yeah.
Were they the ones in that advert, that Kit Kat advert, where they were all doing roller skating?
Yeah, I think that's not scientifically.
No.
Is this where the onesie thing has come from?
It's possible.
That's sort of gone now. The trend, I think, has maybe subsided. But there were lots of adults walking around dressed as pandas for a bit. So maybe you could just get these costumes from zookeepers.
The great thing about doing this sort of stuff on the ramble is, right, you're safe that you can say whatever you want because no one's going to complain because they wanted scientifically accurate chat about things on the football ramble. Because they just sound like an idiot.
Football included.
Yeah. So you can do what you want.
Well, I guess I have to ordain an award point, I suppose, haven't I?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for James, because it was almost the same as mine.
I wouldn't have accepted your point.
I will take the point.
It doesn't feel right.
What do you mean?
It doesn't feel right.
That's not allowed.
Well, you didn't give me
I'm from
anyway.
The same board of, knowledge and power.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's good. Reassuring.
Are you not acknowledging Pete's points?
Acknowledge my points.
Listen, Jim, everyone's happy. I didn't get them. I didn't want them.
Luke, right, I'm giving you the points.
Oh,
yeah.
It's worked.
Acknowledge that.
I
right.
gratefully accept them.
There has been some international whatnot to read. Slovakia 0, England 1. England getting their 13th qualifying win, I believe, in a row in Slovakia at the weekend.
It took us two entire games to break them down.
Oh, my dear. Lallana, probably the standout player, and a rather dull performance. Looking very flat. That bank of four in the middle. Yeah. It was cloying. It was boring. Not having it.
A lot of people were very angry about it, but Slovakia, you know, they defended resolutely throughout, and they were set up to frustrate us. It's Allardyce's first game in charge. Yeah, it wasn't much fun to watch, but you know, we got the win. You know, it's not as bad as people keep saying.
We got the win very late.
If England can play every team twice, what we're saying is we can essentially guarantee a result. if we play a team that are poor and we can't beat them, don't panic.
No.
Just give us another go at it.
Yeah.
And we'll guarantee a result one way or the other.
Much like the players, I'm still so not over the Iceland game.
No.
I'm almost not bothered about this game.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's just sort of happened around me without me really engaging in it, because I'm still thinking, Iceland? Seriously?
it's not really the way you want to sort of go after three solid weeks of the Premier League being back and having a lovely time.
It always happens like this, doesn't it? I know they have to squeeze them in, but it seems that if Sam Allardyce is allowed to just skip over a friendly for a laugh...
Can he skip over a qualifier
just
as well?
Skip over a qualifier as well. If you're not going to play a friendly, don't play the qualifier.
I'm new in the job. I don't feel ready for it yet. Can we push it back a bit? It's interesting how the Premier League is arguably the fastest league in the world, but England are the slowest team in the world.
They look so sluggish.
Well, the Iceland game was a great example of it, and there were shades of this against Slovakia as well. They make football look like such a difficult sport.
Yeah.
They make it look so hard, like it's underwater lacrosse or something.
It feels like they're challenging you to stick with it.
Yeah.
How long can you stick with this for? It's like some sort of endurance test. I love doing the show, obviously, and it's a great opportunity to chat to you guys twice a week and actually have people listen. But I could have thought of so many things I'd rather be doing than watching that game yesterday. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. Oh God, I don't like football anymore, because I do genuinely love football. But that is just so hard to watch. You could have been forgiven for thinking that it was nothing at all had changed in the summer. There's no point with the way England operate, the way FA do things, of just having, you can call it a manager, but it's essentially a custodian of shit. It's just someone curating and playing the custodian until the next load of old shit comes along.
Yeah.
That's essentially all it is. If you look at Allardyce's comments around Rooney, for example, I mean,
that's been the big talking point, hasn't it? I mean, obviously, for me, the most exciting, thrilling thing that happened in that whole football match was the fact that that bit when Adam Lallana was running full pelt behind the goal with a shirt over his head. That's dangerous,
that
incredible,
good.
Or maybe the shirt's very thin. I don't know, but that was the most thrilling thing about the match.
It's like that game you play at music festivals when it's dark and you just leg it as fast as you can past all the tent guide ropes and see how far you can get.
Luke, you're just going to kick people's guide ropes out, for crying out loud,
and massively stack it, possibly onto a tent peg. Yeah. That's the danger.
Done that
That's
before.
The danger. That's the danger. To be fair, you rarely pull the people's guy ropes out. You would just end up completely.
Well, the burly man who comes at the tent looks very much like one Wayne Rooney every single time. Yeah. So Wayne Rooney is the big story. Obviously, he was dropping back into midfield, and Sam Allardyce, he don't know what to do. He doesn't want to get involved. Let him do what he wants.
A few weeks ago, I said that Brendan Rodgers was like Colonel Kurtz, just completely off the rails, doing whatever he wants. That's essentially Wayne Rooney's career. Wayne Rooney's international career is whatever I feel like on the day, I'll do.
Yeah. Allardyce didn't seem to know where he was supposed to be playing, which is absolutely fascinating. Now, there's been a funny reaction to this. I think if you assume Rooney was playing as a midfielder, he did a really good job there. But to find out he sort of maybe wasn't was strange.
Well, it just made Kane look more isolated. He didn't have a great game, and it just came to the point where it's just like, if you're an incredible player on top of his game and you want the ball all the time, fair dues. But if you're Wayne Rooney at his age and at his speed, you're not going to get up into the final third, and you're not going to do anything with it. You're just going to play a slide rule pass to a defender.
What I mean though is if you take his performance based on what he was doing rather than what everyone thought he should be doing, he did actually play well. And I think it's kind of harsh on Rooney that people are going, oh yeah, he shouldn't have been doing that. But at the same time, I sort of understand if you've got an Eric Dier in there, use it.
Is there any merit to suggest that it's on paper the hardest game that England would have to play in this qualification process? So going away to Slovakia and you know, obviously not wanting to be beaten isn't too bad, because the ultimate aim is to qualify. I mean, I'm going to sort of contradict myself a little bit by saying that actually one of the main problems I've noticed, other than the fact that the players, England players aren't really, broadly speaking, aren't really good enough. But if you look at Big Sam and the way he's acted since he's taken the job, far too many of these England managers, especially when they're English, just treat the job as a destination rather than something to be worked hard at. They sort of treat it as a summit of their summit of their management career.
A lot of players do, to be fair.
And players possibly too, yeah.
But almost a reward for what they've done before.
But that's what Big Sam said. He said, well, look, I've dreamt about this all my life. I'll tell you what, I've thought about it so much that there's no danger of me not enjoying it. I just want to enjoy it. And it's like, well,
you're not here to be. I hope you didn't say that in the entrance interview. We kind of realised that the entrance interviews aren't that stringent, to be quite frank. Because you'd never say that in an interview. I just want to enjoy it. It's not for you, Sam. You're a servant.
You're not a visiting professor of an illustrious sort of academic institution. You know, you deliver the odd lecture and write the book.
I've managed Newcastle.
I've weathered six relegation battles in recent memory. I deserve this. This is my Costa del Sol.
I think, without
Sol Campbell,
Costa del Sol, it. I think to get the win is obviously important, but it's very hard to rouse yourself and to actually care, isn't it? I mean, it's so hard to, because even if England do qualify, which I'm sure they will, and given that only one team qualifies from each group automatically, it's important they win their away games, but they probably will. It's not. And so anything's going to change. Yeah.
This is the cycle of supporting England, isn't it? They disappoint you in a tournament, or sort of the more modern cycle at least. They disappoint you in a tournament, you don't care for the first few qualifiers, then they sort of get back on track, they actually start looking, if not necessarily brilliant, functional, and they start getting results, then you get really excited for the tournament, and then they do it to you all over again.
But it's fascinating what the England job does to people. We were talking a bit about it before we came on air, about how if you think of Big Sam when he took the England job, you think, I don't know if it would be the first thing you think of, but you would probably think one of the first few things you'd think of about Big Sam would be he doesn't take any shit, right? He's not a manager who suffers fools. We've seen him, the way he acted around Chico Flores against Swansea that time, just laughing in his face. He doesn't care about anyone. He's a big enough personality to make these big decisions, and that was broadly given as one of the main reasons why he'd be successful.
Yeah.
And then you look at his comments around Wayne Rooney.
It seems like a different bloke, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And do you think perhaps that's because he's never had stars of this magnitude before, so he's maybe being a bit overawed?
The actual quote itself would certainly suggest what you're saying. This is the most decorated outfield player in England. He's won everything at Manchester United, at Champions League, domestic level. I think he holds a lot more experience at international football than I do as an international manager. So when he's using his experience and playing as a team member, it's not for me to say where he's going to play. Literally, his job description.
To be fair, we found out last week that when Harry Kane was taken off of corners for the second game against Slovakia, funnily enough, in the Euros, it was Rooney's decision rather than Hodgson. Rooney overruled him, didn't he? Said I'm going to take the corners, you just try and get your head on it. Now, that was a good decision. That was Wayne Rooney showing that he's got some leadership qualities and doing something good for the team. So
Harry Kane took.
Yeah, and that. But is there an argument that as captain, Rooney should maybe have a little bit of leeway there to use his experience?
But there's a difference between that and essentially what he did. I mean, I can understand the argument for a captain saying on the pitch, look, it's not working, we'll change it around a little bit. I think the captain's prerogative is to do that. Mm. But for him, because the thing with Rooney is that he's obviously just decided that either he's been told by Big Sam or he's been decided himself or between them that he's just going to play where he wants. Wayne Rooney is no longer the player that can have a team built around him. Mm. I mean, I listened to Chris Waddle yesterday on the radio, and he said that, you know, if you are going to go down that route and you're going to build a team around someone, you're going to have to build it around Adam Lallana. And it's not very palatable to suggest that, in my opinion, because I don't think Lallana is anywhere near the level he needs to be for that sort of accolade. Mm. But Wayne Rooney isn't that player. And if you were going to pick an England team on merit and on the way that they should play, if they're going to play in this 4-2-3-1 position, Wayne Rooney isn't in the team. Danny Drinkwater should be in the team. Hmm. Eric Dyer should be in the team. And you'd probably play Dele Alli behind Harry Kane.
Well, Drinkwater wasn't injured for that match, was he?
He wasn't picked, no.
So he just wasn't selected. It was just very underwhelming. When you saw the I was on air when the team came out, and just like, really? I mean, that's the same, isn't it, really? Yeah. I mean...
But to flip it around and defend Big Sam, people were saying a lot about how the squad was fairly similar. Well, what other players has he got to pick? Mm. He can't pick anyone else, can he? He picked McAntonio, he brought Drinkwater back in. He's not got a huge amount of resources.
I think,
and those players that England have, if you go through them 1 to 11, it's hard to make a sort of really convincing case that any of them, possibly 2 or 3 of them, are really top quality at the peak of their game. And you need to have more than that to do anything on the international stage.
What might be quite interesting is if every time they publish an international squad, they also publish the available players from the top leagues around Europe that didn't make it. Because there'll be about 15.
Yeah, that's
it. there's just so few players to pick from.
Agree. Yeah. Absolutely right. And I think England and the media and everything get so sort of caught up in all this stuff about who takes a corner, who does this, who does that, who's the captain. And like, we're waiting for...
Well, this is what you get when everything is so boring. You're forced to find something.
But you've got to fetishise the minutiae of the actual game itself.
It felt like a challenge yesterday. It wasn't a game, it was an ordeal to watch. And of course, Slovakia made it hard. And of course, they had a man sent off, and England found out how to break teams down. But even the much vaunted, as Chris Waddle was saying, and I agree with him, even the much vaunted fullbacks England have got at their disposal, he was saying, and rightly so, they're fast players. They're fast players and they're athletes, but they're not tricky players. Mm. So what they do a lot is they cut back inside, and that slows the whole thing down, and they pick passes inside. And so England have just got no ingenuity about how they break teams like that down. And then when it comes to playing big teams in tournaments, we just get beaten.
Yeah.
Well, it's a potent mix.
Well, in the post-match upstairs, Sam Allardyce did put the win down to a lucky coin. Given to him by a Slovakian. What I like about that is they were so close to getting a draw. They could have lost it, maybe not, but imagine if they'd lost it, knowing full well that coin would still be in Sam Allardyce's pocket and he didn't bring it out and blame the win on that.
He would just have chucked it away, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, he would have, but just knowing that it had it on his person.
He also said, I've never really considered myself to be a superstitious manager, but then when this happened, I thought, you know, it might be worth something. Mm. The England job turned you into a raving idiot.
Into a maniac.
The England job...
This is how you get turned into a vegetable on the back of a tabloid.
Yeah, the England management job is essentially the football equivalent of a lobotomy.
I've never had strong opinions about the disabled, but Glenn Oddle, suddenly you have them.
Yeah,
suddenly you go a bit mad.
Where do they come from? Don't know. All of a sudden I'm out of a job.
Well, let's move on. I mean, England, they're a shoo-in for qualification, even though this is probably this was the hardest match they're going to play in qualification, aren't they?
Scottish listeners will be fuming.
It's only one match, goodness me. Speaking of those north of the border that Marcus so richly loves and deserves, Malta 1, Scotland 5. Snodgrass with a hat-trick, Malta equalising 4 minutes after their opener. A great start for Scotland, or indeed it was a great start and then not a great start.
They got pegged back.
They got pegged back.
The first Snodgrass goal was an absolute beauty.
Yeah, an accidental
of a cross. Of a cross.
Oh my word.
Yeah, but they all count.
I'm not going to stick the boot in Scotland because I dearly hope they qualify.
Being nine men Muller.
yeah, quite. But to be fair, the second goal was sent off at the final minute or something, wasn't
he? Our goal was scored in the 94th.
Yeah, true.
But just, all count.
The second Maltese sending off was amazing. He'd been fouled. He was like, I've had enough of this. Yeah. Just kicked out.
Yeah, I want a minute rest.
Yeah. I don't want to do this again.
I can taste that cup of tea.
Yeah. If I go now, first shower's mine. First shower's definitely mine.
get the next game off.
Yeah, but the thing about Scotland is I don't want to stick the boot in because I really hope they do well. But they can't help themselves when they talk about it, even though it's a 5-1 win. We've got a hat trick. And Robert Snodgrass, who I understand has been off with a lot of injuries one serious injury for about 14 months, wasn't it? Talking about how amazing it is to have a hat trick and all this stuff. And you sort of think, yeah, okay, I'll give you that to a point. But it is Malta. And little fact for you, Robert Snodgrass is only the second player in 47 years to score a hat-trick for Scotland.
Wow.
And Stephen Fletcher scored two hat-tricks last year against Gibraltar. It's those two are the only ones. And you sort of think, enjoy it. Do enjoy it. I really mean that.
Your tongue is so firmly in your cheek. It's coming out the ear.
But it is Malta. It is Malta.
Guys, if you take nothing else away from this football ramble, it is Malta.
It is the lighter way to enjoy football.
Oliver Burke played a £13 million footballer in the Scottish team. That doesn't happen very often. It's never happened before.
That's a dig.
That is a dig. That's a bigger dig than yours.
You're having a dig. You're having a right dig.
Mine's backed up by finance, though.
£13 million. Oh, nothing in Scotland's worth that much. That's absolutely outrageous.
You can build a bridge for that. That's a massive one. To Fife.
And Mexico will pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We'll take a short break. We'll be back with some more international football. Belgium, Spain, Czech Republic, Northern Ireland. We'll be casting a wry eye over that next.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. The Czech Republic 0, Northern Ireland 0. A useful point.
Are you absolutely sure you finished having a dig at Scotland?
What do you mean?
Because I think you've got a bit more in your locker, haven't you?
No, I've got nothing.
Okay. You might.
Yeah. No.
No, I haven't. As someone who's of Scottish descent, one side of my family,
well,
it's all very affectionate when it comes from me, but I know with Pete, who's of Welsh descent, he genuinely dislikes
my name is Donaldson.
Are you trying to start a
I have a tartan.
War?
Just putting it out there.
I'll see you at Hadrian's Wall.
I'm not trying to start a race war. I'm just sowing the seeds and see what grows.
All right, Trump.
Have our clans ever feuded? This is one for the genealogist. Well, Moore, Donaldson, Campbell, Speller.
We have talked about this. My clan is the Burns clan.
Yeah.
And we think we worked out at some point
that we were maybe in cahoots.
Yeah,
perhaps,
I think we were. Yeah, I think we were.
So
yeah,
I don't know about Donaldson. Oh, why don't we find this out? That'd be fascinating. Yeah, yeah. Donaldson, Speller, if any genealogy experts are around.
Would it be genealogy? I don't know. Clanology.
No, clanology. We don't want to talk to any clanologists. They sound a bit right wing to me.
I've got a Burns tartan fridge magnet at home. There you go.
Got any more like that? Right. Czech
Why
Republic.
Do you hate the Scottish?
I want to move on to the absolute.
I'm having to pop up my fridge magnet now. Hates the people.
I want to move
on
to Czech Republic nil, Northern Ireland nil.
Too busy hating shortbread.
Before this, I was wondering why you voted Brexit, and now I
right.
know.
I'm only just realising what a hard job Marx has got to corral you imbeciles. Right, Czech Republic.
Why don't you go and kick a Scotty dog to feel better?
I do need to move on.
Yeah, all right.
Czech Republic nil, Northern Ireland nil. A useful point for Northern Ireland, I think it's fair to say.
You like them, do you?
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, it is a useful point for them, although I think they did very, very well qualifying for Euro 2016. We all know that. They finished top of their group, which was no mean feat. They're not going to finish top of their group this time round, so that is a very important point for them.
They will if their opposition misses chances like Philip Novak.
Unbelievable.
It's
one of those ones where it's just harder to miss.
It's early in the season.
Yeah.
Give them a break.
We've all been there.
Yeah. Give him a break. It's a sort of weekend where Robert Snodgrass is scoring hat-tricks.
Indeed.
So all the bets are off. Yeah.
Speller's out the country, we all know. But can the Northern Irish make the World Cup? I mean, Germany will obviously boss this group. Norway's going to be in second place, no doubt.
Well, I think Northern Ireland should be targeting second place.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little word to the wise. I don't think San Marino are that good. This is not the best San Marino vintage we've seen.
Hot tip.
Azerbaijan also aren't that good, although they started off with a win, of course. I think Northern Ireland should be targeting second place for sure.
I mean, it must be a very draining thing to have gone through all the emotions of the qualifying campaign for the Euros and then to, you know, do relatively well once they got there. To then pick yourself up to try and do it all again as an international team. It must be a similar syndrome to, you know, we're always hearing that it's harder to defend a league title than it is to win one. If there's an international equivalent, it's going to be this, isn't it?
Or have they had a taste of the biscuit, Jimbo?
Well,
have they had a taste of the biscuit?
Taste of the biscuit.
Yeah.
Well, as we record, Wales and Moldova have just wrapped up. Vaux, Allen, Bale with two. Wales 4, Moldova 0, people.
Take that.
It's a strong start.
It's a strong start.
From Britain's best team.
Yeah, they really are, aren't they? They're two places above England as we speak in the old run.
Are they two places above them in your heart as well, Pete?
On that performance.
Rank the home nations and include and also Republic of Ireland.
Can I include Jersey?
If you want.
That's nice.
In order of how much you like them.
What do you mean? Well,
what's your least favourite?
I think
Britain,
I like.
Pete,
no, I like. I genuinely like Scotland more than I like a lot of places.
Sounds like he's trying to make up for something.
And if you'd like to buy tickets to the Glasgow show, it's thefootballramble.com. That's happening very soon indeed.
It's sold out, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
have another dig at the Scottish people.
Don't do that then.
Inconvenience from them. Yeah.
See, actually, they've come out and they've spent their money.
Yeah.
Despite the stereotypes you were talking about.
Jim Campbell.
Before the show.
Yeah. If Marcus was here, he'd be very upset.
Yeah, he's always upset when he's here, though, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, goodness. Right. Belgium 0, Spain 2.
Started well, didn't it? It started very, very well.
A losing start for the Henri Martinez dream team.
Peter, I love that you've put Henri first in that. Because that's what everyone
Come on now. Yeah. If you're in a room with. Who's looking at Roberto Martinez when you're in a room with. With Thierry Henry.
I love the Belgian FA. I can imagine them saying to old Martinez afterwards. I mean, we knew your teams can concede goals, but when you don't score, it's not as good, is it?
Yeah.
It's not as good.
You know, you can use the defenders.
They're an option available to you if you want to use them. They're always there for you. Think of them as a safety net, literally a safety net in front of the goal.
The first match, and they're being booed by their own fans.
I know
it was incredible. A friendly, but good lord.
And they're playing against Spain, who are generally considered to be one of Europe's best teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's as if Belgium's fans have really embraced that whole football hipster thing and just become really pretentious towards their own team.
Are they suggesting that because Martinez is Spanish, he may have been favourable, given them favourable treatment?
Oh, is that right? Okay.
No, that's not right. I don't know.
Don't be weird.
I've not done a Mark Housley and lifting the lid on for at the very heart of the game.
Well, we'll talk about that in a bit, but John Stones on Martinez, when he was asked whether he got enough defensive training, unequivocal, maybe not.
No.
He said, maybe not. Maybe I didn't.
Oh, having a go now he's gone.
Yeah, never mind. But, you know, Roberto Martinez obviously got the job. He obviously interviews well, as I've said once before on The Ramble. But
he's got a panda for an agent.
An unnamed source reportedly revealed to the Daily Mail that Louis van Gaal was interviewed for the post. He was asked to describe his vision for the team, but those asking the questions found his response draining and exhausting.
I imagine he probably said, mind your own fucking business.
Yeah. He'd have been manager of the Red Devils twice in a row. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
For no one apart from him.
No. Before descending to hell permanently.
Yeah, yeah. Goodness me.
So, and he could have done the old, well, the instructions I give to the players are very complicated. It's going to take probably the best part of 4 to 5 years, roughly about when my contract finishes, for them to fully get it.
20 to 30 years, I'll be dead in the ground. I'll be long dead. And that's
and
when
then, and then as soon as I drop down dead, a number of the more intelligent players will go, oh, that's what he meant. and we'll start putting together some passable performances.
Just over the border, Netherlands 1, Greece 2. Picking up where they left off, really, the Netherlands. Losing to Greece at home. Brilliant. Fantastic work.
They've also got presumably because they've been so poor recently, Netherlands, they've actually got a very tricky qualification group. Mm. For those of you listening who don't really care about international football, you won't have seen this, and that's quite a lot of people by the sounds of it, but we like it, so I'm going to give you the table now.
Okay.
They've got France in their group, and they've got Sweden in their group, and they've got a tricky Bulgaria in their group as well. And obviously, only the top team qualify.
That is a really tough group.
That's horrible, isn't
it? Given that Netherlands are going to lose at home to Luxembourg, because that's their thing, isn't it? Losing at home to someone really bad. They're really going to struggle, I tell you. Yeah.
Did you see Blind?
The Greece game was only a friendly, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, so it's not. They haven't started off badly.
But if you look at it like Bruma and Zort. Is it Zort? Zort.
Yeah.
They were lauded as being the future. They're not the future.
Well, they might be, but this might be a very nice future.
It's a bad future. Yeah. Cataclysmic.
It's a dystopian future.
Yeah. These two are the future of Dutch football, yes, and that's what I'm worried about.
But Wijnaldum in particular, obviously Liverpool's new signing, been vital for Blind. He scored more goals than any other player.
So, what do you mean by that? That's very open-ended.
Well, yeah. Any other player in Blind's work.
Yeah.
There's Netherlands head honcho.
It is oeuvre.
And they play Sweden next, don't they?
Yes.
They play Sweden tomorrow night, so they'll hopefully want to start off with a win, obviously. But I'm telling you, it's one of these interesting things about the qualification for tournaments. If you have a bad run, it gets harder and harder and harder. You know, look what's happening with teams. Then they've changed the Champions League thing around. Leicester have now were seeded in the Champions League. But do you remember when Man City used to get hard Champions League groups every time?
Yeah,
it's like that. But for Netherlands now, they obviously weren't seeded, so they got France, and they've been dished out a couple of tough ones as well in the shape of Sweden and Bulgaria.
Italy 1, France 3. France looking great in this match. Even Giroud scored.
Jimmy. Did Sissoko play?
I don't know whether he played. Probably busy, innit? Yeah. Getting his new house.
Yeah, I forgot he's left you, isn't he?
You were away for a couple of weeks. Oh, I see. Yeah,
there's going to be video replay, so he's like, I've got double chance to get on telly. I'm definitely playing.
Yes, this is the first game ever to use video replays in professional football, apparently.
I'm against it, and I talk very extensively in our book coming out October 20th about how against it I am. Mm. And I'm not going to go into it now because you two will be bored. But trust me,
I was bored reading it.
The book.
You're wrong because I write about it very articulately in the book.
I love an articulate Luke Moore. Brilliant.
I had time to choose my words. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's not the way to go personally. But I was interested to see that Donnarumma played for Italy at the age of a tender age of 17. Mm. I think Buffon made his debut before Donnarumma was born.
Wow,
that's huge. Mm. That's a huge fact. He did a pretty good save and muffed up at his near post. So yeah.
And they've got Spain in their group. There can only be one.
It's difficult.
Tasty.
It's bloody difficult.
It's tasty.
We can touch on domestic football a little bit. South Korea versus Syria. That's not strictly domestic football. Son Heung-min, obviously, missing the match to revive his Spurs career on a weekend when Spurs aren't playing. Presumably, great, yeah. He means this weekend.
Just stick around the training ground a bit. Yeah, just show how helpful I am.
I'll put my own game on.
I mean, he was signed for like this season's money, wasn't he? $22 million last season. So it's a weird one. I hope he does well. I hope he, you know, what, 13 starts.
Private game.
13 starts in the Premier League last season.
I love the idea of him not going away to playing for his country because he just wants to be seen around the training ground, show that he's really committed to the cause, even though there is literally nothing happening because everyone else has gone to play international football.
Well, he played against China, I think, last week, so I don't know. I don't know how that works, to be quite frank. We spoke about Kosovo last week and players who may or may not be eligible to play. Up to six of Albert Bunjaki's players may be ineligible to play for their football team. FIFA gave their decision this afternoon at 3 p.m. just 7 hours before kickoff.
They've
had since May. Kosovo got into FIFA in May.
Well, some of the and that is unacceptable, and I completely agree. But some of the chat around it was that the majority of the players they wanted to have are of Albanian extraction and Albanian nationality, and the Albanian authorities weren't exactly forthcoming with providing the paperwork to help them.
Right.
And that's part of the reason, apparently. But there's still no excuse from FIFA's point of view to give them a decision on who can and who can't play.
Well, exactly. Why on the afternoon?
Everyone from FIFA is in jail.
Could be that. There's nobody there to do it.
And or incompetent.
Well, Bunjaki's he's a little bit annoyed. He says, I have plan B and plan C, of course. I have to, but I still don't want to think about plan B because it will change everything. He's very upset about the whole situation.
I mean, that is very much the concept of having another plan, isn't it? That it changes everything.
I think so. Goodness me. And speaking of FIFA, kind of, the new CONCACAF president, Vincent
Montagliani.
He wins quote of the week, as he states for the record, there has been a bit of a shitstorm here.
Oh, quote of the week. Bring in a feature to overthrow the current establishment. Well, Spell is going to be furious.
He can pick up the baton next week, can't he?
I don't really want to know where Marcus is going to go. Quote of the week. Goodness gracious.
He does have some strange reading material. Right, on the way, we're going to be talking...
A lot of it illegal.
We've got some highlights of the week on the way. We're going to be talking about Halsey Gate, no doubt. We'll be back in, a couple of seconds. Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The screen's company before's a ramble. And we're back with the Football Ramble. I'm Pete Dawson, joined by Luke Miller and Jim Campbell. Remember, the Football Ramble preview show appears in your iTunes box on your mobile phone, however you access the Football Ramble Aircast this Friday, sponsored by Bet365. We're looking ahead to the weekend of football. It's always a lot of fun. We do predictions. We drive each other wild with our excitable approaches to the weekend of football.
With our steamy narrative.
And we've also got a monthly newsletter as well.
Oh, you want to talk about that, do you?
Well, I can talk about it if you want. It provides you with the potted highlights of the Football Ramble website. You can win prizes too as well, which is quite lush. Do we give away t-shirts or mugs on the newsletter?
We gave away 5 books last month.
The bloody hell! They're prices than both the book, the mugs and the t-shirts.
It's there or thereabouts. But
Wow.
If you sign up on thefootballramble.com, you will obviously receive one monthly, hence the title monthly newsletter.
We don't want to be spamming you.
And we don't know what we're going to give away next month yet, but it'll be a treat, I'm sure. What I've put out there is a working idea, and is to give away 5 dates with Pete Donaldson.
Okay. Yeah.
You've got the time.
Like 5 first dates. Yeah. I literally work in the evenings, Luke.
Well, they don't have to be doing... Well, you can take someone to the zoo.
2016, mate. People have lots of different types of jobs.
Lunch dates.
Yeah, go to London Zoo Nights.
Yeah.
London Zoo Nights.
With Pete. See, you can already hear how much fun that's going to be.
The places Pete isn't already barred from.
Well...
The zoo's one of the few things I'm not.
Would you be up for giving a date away as a prize?
God, no.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
Because no one listens.
We were discussing, actually, Pete, just stealing things from your person and giving those away. And I feel that if we can trick you out of them, you should just accept that.
Oh, what, if you can trick me out of my... You'd get something weird like my socks or my shoes or something.
I would love that.
A lot of people got in touch with you, actually, this week about... There's a story broke about a drunken guy, somewhere on the internet, who bought a £40,000 bus.
Yeah.
We got loads of tweets saying, is this Pete Dawson?
And also a man's gone crazy with a plastic sword on public transport.
Yeah.
People who love you.
Loves it.
Do you find yourself needing a lot of alibis?
I like to film myself wherever I can.
Don't look at your run, we're not moving on. Did you buy the bus?
I didn't buy the bus, no. Okay. No, I don't even know that collateral.
Did you make a bid on the bus?
Did you make a bid for the bus?
My PayPal account has been blocked. So.
Is it because you'd already bought 2 buses previously?
So if you get onto thefootballramble.com, you can also grab tickets for the live show as well.
You can, yeah.
All the details are up there, thefootballramble.com.
They are starting to sell out now. I know that Bristol was sold out and I think Glasgow was sold out. and Leeds is very close to selling out. But if you have missed out on Bristol, you can pop up the road to Cardiff, sunny and hour down the road, as I'm sure you all know. And we've got shows in London, of course, and Brighton. So yeah, do check it
come
out.
Come to Brighton. Brighton's lovely.
Yeah, it's a very nice part of the world.
Beautiful. A couple of hours of Ramble Live, unleashed on the lash.
Well, and books available, of course, as well.
Yes.
As part of the ticket. And lots of different stuff. I mean, we talked about this briefly before, but one of the things that we should sort of really work on releasing at some point in some sort of capacity is the working ideas that you bring to potentially put in the running order for the live shows, because they involve Mike Ashley, they involve drones, they involve all sorts of different bits and pieces. Yeah. So it's worth talking about.
Drugs and Drones, the Pete Donaldson story. That's
not,
what I have.
Not drugs.
Not drugs.
It's a family show.
Don't take drugs and fly a drone into a house. Don't do it.
Or anything.
Yeah, said
or
the anything. Man to me. Referee Mark Halsey.
Yeah.
He's had a week.
He's had a busy week, mouthing off on Twitter.
He's thought, I'm fed up of being out of the public eye. I am fed up of it.
Mark Halsey's wicked whispers. Goodness me. He said that he was once told by a professional game match official, or rather the professional game match official's governing body, to say he'd not seen a particular incident so that a video review could take place. Do we need to dispense with this nonsense of the pretending you haven't seen something seen something?
I'll tell you what we don't. And obviously, we should say that the match official's governing body have denied this at the time of recording, but the reason this happens, as I'm sure you all know, but I'll just remind you, obviously you don't know, Pete, because you've asked me that question about it being nonsense.
I'm playing Devil's Advocar.
I'm playing it very well.
Yes.
Playing Dick Advocar very well. Here's some flowers. It's because if the referee, if they start to make decisions around video replays on referees, things referees have seen, you essentially undermine all the referee's decisions. And where does it end? You know, do you even need a referee? So it has to, at the moment, they can only act when a referee hasn't seen it. It's on paper, it's not seeing it. That's why it happens. But for Mark Howser to come out and say this,
strong.
Very strong.
Well, it needs to be investigated, surely.
I'm going to use the word seismic, Jim.
Mm.
Seismic.
Problematic.
It could go
seismic
anywhere, this.
Tweet.
Beautiful. Can we have some highlights of the week? Shall we chuck them in right now? That's all right.
I will give you a few highlights of the week. My highlight of the week, says Dave McDonald, was receiving...
D-D. Oh, not a fan of that clan.
D-Mac-D. Yeah.
Sorry, this is a red flag for me. Can you not read this?
He's probably this might be throwing the gauntlet down
warning. Jim, trigger warning.
To rekindle hostilities, Jim. You never know. Dave McDonald, he says, I received an appreciative nod from a chap on the bus in Aberdeen when the Football Ramble theme song played through my earphones. Is this possibly the bloke Pete went on holiday with?
Have
you got a friend from Aberdeen?
Oh, yes, I have, yes.
Do you know who your own friends are?
Craigie, yeah.
Could it have been him?
He hates football, so probably not. Could be his brother. He likes football.
Could be his brother, Dave.
Is it Craig's brother?
Could be Craigie's brother.
Yeah.
It sounds very sarcastic. It sounds like you're making all this up.
And despite what your experience of going to Pittodrie might be, though, there are more than two football fans in the whole of Aberdeen, I'm sure. The Granite City is a football hotbed, as we all know.
Cold bed.
As my granddad used to say about Aberdeen, it's not quite the end of the world, but you can see it from there.
Beautiful.
Dave Humphreys, another Dave, has also been in touch. He says, my highlight, this is one for you, Jim, actually, witnessing a now easily 65-year-old Kanu rolling back the years scoring a hat-trick for Arsenal versus a Milan Legends team. Should Wenger sign him up? # better than Giroud.
It was so good. It was just the highlights of that Legends game. Just, you know, players like Mark Overmars and Robert Pires and Luis Boa Morte just tearing it up again.
Well, he set one up for Kanu, didn't he? He whipped the ball in, I believe.
It's funny, there's always these Legends games where there is someone like that and they seem a bit incongruous and actually they play a blinder. I remember seeing John Solarco playing an absolute blinder in some charity game David Beckham had put on, and he looked genuinely like he could still cut it.
He's a good player, John Solarco.
He was, he was underrated, but he was like, you know, in his 40s.
I know what you mean.
But Kanu's hat trick was two standing headers, the most standing of headers I've ever seen, and a penalty.
He's Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, quite. And towards the end of his career, and I've said this before on this show, and I'll stand by it now. From what I saw, he was a very easy player to play with because you always knew where he was going to be, exactly where you last saw him. You could almost easily pop passes out just to that space where you know he's going to be.
He's very much the stationary vacuum cleaner to a Roomba.
Absolutely right. What else have we got here? Mike Pyrie, I think that's pronounced. He says, two great names. 14 goals, including 7 for Wayne McIntosh in the Scottish Cup preliminary round between Bonnie Rig Rose Athletic, who won 14-0 against Burnt Island Shipyard. He says, what more could you want? Not more.
Aren't they called Burnt Island Shipyard Amateurs?
Possibly.
That might be their full name. Sounds like it.
That's the operative word in this result. I'm telling you, 14-0 to Bonnie Rig Rose Athletic.
Yeah, I mean, to be fantastic. Fair, their entire island's been burnt to smithereens. They've done well to turn up.
They have. We don't know when that was, though. They could have had plenty of time to recover. Rory Brace, this is a good one. He says, this is on the Facebook, he says, hearing Clive Tildesley mention that Slovakia right-sided midfield player was actually a right-back by trade, in quotes, as though he's done a three-year apprenticeship under Gary Neville and is now fully Corgi registered.
He can fit pipes.
Yeah, that's right. We've got some. A lot of people get in touch about Snodgrass's hat-trick against Malta, which he's obviously talked about. The fixtures for the Scottish Cup first round are out. Obviously, always very enjoyable, that. Teams such as Keith FC involved.
That's not a football club, that's just a man.
No, the FC stands for football club, mate.
Mm. that's general as well, that's throughout football. So it's little fact for you there, Pete.
I think they might be playing...
I thought it was Keith Farmer Child.
Could be. They're playing Banks of D. Banks of D.
Banks of D.
That
Banks
sounds like a sort of 90s kind of British hip hop. Sort of hip hop,
like Chakademus and Players, yeah. Banks of D, featuring Banks of D.
CS Strollers are playing Howick Royal Albert. Mm-hmm. This would be a nice one.
Sounds like a pub.
Clacknacuddin playing Stirling University.
Sounds like a kind of Clanad style band.
Who else are in there? Dal BT Star are involved. Lynn Lithgow Rose are involved. And the Cumbernauld Colts.
Beautiful.
Nice. You can't beat a bit
the
of that.
The Cumbernauld Colts.
Who should we dish out the mug to for the whole of the week? So I'll do your recap. Dave McDonald met the guy Pete went on holiday with. Jim doesn't want that one because it's a McDonald clan. Dave Humphreys, the Carnoo shout. Mike Pyrie, the Bonnie Rig Rose Athletic. Or Rory Brace talking about Corgi registered right backs.
I think Rory. I think Rory's brought the most to the table.
Tilsley mensch. A Clive Tilsley mensch. Yeah. First of the season, I think.
Got to be done.
I'll tell you one thing Clive Tilsley did do, which is fantastic, is I'm pretty sure after about 15 seconds, he said to Glenn Hoddle, what do you make of the Sam Allardyce era, Glenn? And Glenn Hoddle was like, well, yeah, it's early days.
I've got some views on disabled people.
No, he did say that. Again. He did say that.
No, he's former life.
So, Rory, you've got the mug, so get in touch. Email us at show@thefootballramble.com with your address, and we will ensure that one are sought after. Football Ramble mug is on its way to you, sir.
And we haven't touched it, so you can feel free to drink out of it.
It'll be boxed, and there will be no superficial damage to the packaging.
And this applies to all of the mugs, not just this one.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, exactly. Of course you can buy them on the site. If you don't want to think of something witty, just get your money in your pocket. Do an Abramovich and just chuck the money at it. Chuck money at the problem. TheFootballRamble.com. You can do mugs, T-shirts, all sorts.
Perfect. So there's a couple of other stories that we need to sort of touch on before we leave.
Okay.
Before we shuffle off, is that all right with you?
Yeah, by all means.
All right. Tony Pulis, he was thinking about possibly leaving West Brom. There was rumours circling, and now he's got to come out and say, I'm not leaving West Brom, but I am annoyed about their transfer policy.
The same happened at Palace, didn't it? Pulis' stint at Palace seems weird now. Seems like ages ago.
That's very clever from Pulis, because he's talking about jumping before he's pushed, because I heard he's under a lot of pressure at that club, especially around the local media.
Well, there seems to have been talk that they were actually quite close to getting William Carvalho, and it didn't come off, which would have been a huge coup.
It would have. Absolutely. Absolutely would have done. That's just the Premier League money again. Yeah. Money talks.
Mm. I mean, Chadley was their record, wasn't he? For, I think, 13 million, which, you know, that's a very modest record transfer fee, especially in the current climate.
Indeed. Manchester United have removed a plaque commemorating Sir Matt Busby from the director's box and kicked the Busby family out of their seats. What? Strong work.
Can that be true?
Apparently so. That's what they've done.
That's
a bit much, isn't it?
That's up there with West Ham's treatment of Bobby Moore.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Why did they think they can get... I mean, it's just one seat and a few seats for the
That's
family.
That's up there with Pete Donaldson's treatment of the Scottish public.
Disdain for
just can't
nation.
Abide them,
You cannot help yourself, can you, Donaldson?
Goodness me. There's been a couple of stories from women's football as well, which is quite interesting. We've got Megan Rapinoe. She kneeled for the Star Spangled Banner.
I saw this.
In reference to, obviously, Copernic, the NFL player. And she said...
Copernicus.
Sorry? Yeah. Copernicus.
The great astronomer.
Good, thank you for that. Being a gay American, I know what it means to look at the flag and not have it protect all of your liberties. And bearing in mind that the things done under the British flag, or the English flag, under the British crown in the last 300 years, should we be looking to replace ours as well? Because we've done some pretty horrific things in the last 300 and 400 years.
What, change
since,
our what? Our national
since
anthem?
Our national
change
anthem has
anthem
been...
so all of that goes away.
Yeah, I think so. Sorry about
slate.
That.
Yeah.
Just a song that says sorry.
We will no longer be seeking compensation for your atrocities, because we actually quite like your new anthem.
Yes, I think so.
Maybe sorry seems to be the hardest word, right? Yeah. But like, what, you know, you get those charity singles where it's a cover version of something, but there'll be a different famous person singing each line. We'll just do that, like a Britain megamix.
Perfect day.
Yes, exactly,
perfect
like
day.
The horrible perfect day.
I'd just like to see it go to the old Elton John second version of Candle in the Wind.
Oh, beautiful. Goodbye. Was it Lady Di?
Goodbye, yeah. England's Rose.
England's Rose.
He's like, beautiful. Goodbye, Lady Di in the first
goodbye,
line.
Goodbye, Lady Di.
Yeah, God.
Sorry, you.
So understated. Goodbye, Lady Di.
Could be about anyone.
Dead in a car crash. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. No, did not happen. Right, shall we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this evening, this morning, whenever you choose to listen to the Football Ramble. We appreciate it. Marcus Bell will be back in Monday week. I don't know. When is he coming back?
Will he come back?
Next week. This time next week.
This time next week, the Spellerman will be back, and hopefully there'll have been some non-international underwhelming football happening.
Ironically, we've spoken more about Scottish football today than we ever have done when he's on the show.
Expansive Scottish football chat. That's what you get from the Football Ramble. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to Jim Campbell.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, good. Goodbye, Luke Miller.
Goodbye, England's Rose.
We've been the Football Ramble. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.